Magic Eraser might do it. You know what? It's
good
not
morning.
Crayon.
Ah,
good morning.
It's not crayon.
Good morning.
What is?
Good dry erase marker.
Oh, no.
Good morning.
The kid got
good morning.
Good
morning.
Last week I was talking on Give Me My Mountain, which we all know this is it, and Brother Wade will cover it. We don't want to be that priest. But the people in the message, they climb halfway up the mountain and they
right.
run around, so you got to burn our bridge behind. We cannot go back.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Amen.
Hmm?
That's correct. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So,
that's the only good time for you to do to burn bridges.
I'm climbing a mountain.
The bridges in the back, yeah.
I'm climbing a mountain. Of course, mountains are where God does a mighty thing. On Moriah, he tested Abraham. On Ararat, he rested Noah's ark. On Sinai, he set a flame, a bush that didn't burn, inspiring leader Moses. Then God issued from that same mountain his commandments for holy life. God and mountains, his power moves them. His will infuses them. Nemo, Carmel, Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Beatitudes, the Calvary. A hill, actually, but still set above. The Lord gave his sinless, perfect life for regular, imperfect us. Surely in high places God works. But moving mountains is God's work. Us. Brother Lewis, you want to sing that song, the God in the Mountains, the same and the Valleys?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to sing it right now. We can all go home.
No, you go ahead.
I say, Noah was a type of the church, but no matter what Noah did, the Bible said Noah walked with God. And Enoch is a type of the bride. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, say, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
Yep.
I'm kind of backtracking a little bit in case I missed something.
Yes.
So, in Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels stole Lot. And it came to pass when they had brought them out forth abroad that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. If I have time today, I'm going to do the Bible trivia. And Sister June is the only one that's going to get the answers because she asked me, could you give me the answer and I'll print you that. No, she asked me, give me the questions, I'll print you the answers.
Mm.
So she's the only one that's going to get them all right.
Married me.
Yeah, you didn't
even
know
me. And stay married to me.
Future home and happy bride.
Don't tell me you ever agree with me. I don't hear amen upstairs.
In future home of the heavenly bridegroom and earthly bride, Brother Brennan said, not perfectly, Noah was a type of those carried over. Remember when Noah came out? Ham was with him. Sin was still in there. Sin went right on over through the ark. Unbelief, doubt went over in the ark. Carried above the judgment. But Enoch went higher than the ark. He went on into the presence of God. But Noah went through and come out. And there was still sin. Type of the millennium of one's condition. The millennium is not a end of it, there still be time after the millennium. The millennium is a space of time, but not the new earth. No, indeed. Right. What is the attraction on the mountain, Brother Vernon said? He said, what was the attraction one day in history where a nation had forgotten God, where the people had become formal and different? When the priests had all went with modern trend, the prophets prophesied according to the will of the priest. And in that day, as usual, they had one man that they thought was a fanatic. He talked about women wearing paint and everything. He was kind of an old, a sort of a god. And this old fellow had come down and said to the king, not even dude's going to call until I call for it. It's supposed to be come, I guess. And we found out then that he had hid himself and ran away from it. He had hid out in the wilderness somewhere. The company had thought that maybe that he had starved to death or perished, but he had been fed pretty well and water too. And there he was, come down and said, do you see that I have, thus saith the Lord. Now if you're not convinced yet, let's go up to the top of the mountain and prove who's God. For he had another vision from the Lord. He said, choose you an altar, make it, and choose an ox and slay them. I'll make an altar of the Lord. And also I will put an ox on mine, and we'll both make a sacrifice, and let the God that's God answer. He would have by no means done that if the Lord had told him. He said, no later I done this at all, of this that you command, Lord. What's the attraction? It's got 400 priests standing on the hill, and the king up there in his chariot with all of his armor and guards standing around, and this old, old fussy faced looking man, bald headed, and the hair's hanging down over his face, piece of sheepskin wrapped around him, hairs all over his body, standing up there with a stick in his hand and a crucifix wall on the other hand that just said 3 years and a half before that, not even dew will fall till I call from it. For taking the place of God with such things as halos and shadows and all they talked about. And here the old fanatics stand out there on the hill, bringing all these people up there. What was the attraction? It was God fixing to vindicate his prophet to be right. It was God fulfilling prophecy. God also making history, fulfilling his word. Jesus and the authority of the word. Elijah, the great prophet of old, Jehovah's great witness, when he had went to Mount Carmel, called up Israel before Balak to see which was God. He said, if Balak be God, serve him. If God be God, serve him. When God anointed him with inspiration, gave him a vision, told him how to do things, and he went out there and called all the prophets of Balak and let them make a sacrifice. They scream and cut themselves. No God. Elijah killed the bullock, laid it upon the rock. The altar said, Lord, let it be known that thou art God, and I am your servant, and said, I did all of this as you command, showing that the Lord has showed him what to do. And he fulfilled the vision the Lord showed him. The fire of God fell out of the heavens and consumed the sacrifice. It hadn't rained for 3 years and 6 months. God's preparation. And so God prepares and sends voices that are warning. And he's always made a preparation. Just before he sent Elijah up on the Mount Carmel, there to prove that he was God and the nation had gone wrong. Well, he sent Elijah out to give that warning and to make preparation for these things. And he always does that. God provides a way every time for the people. And if the people rejected his mercy, there's only one thing left to do, and that is for his judgment. Joseph meeting his brethren. Even Elijah, after being the school of the prophets, why, when he went up there, they wanted him to leave. He said, it's just too straight here, you see. They had one of these religious leaders of his day. Elijah separated himself to Mount Carmel. Watched John the Baptist separate himself. Never even went to their school to learn their theology, but got them into the wilderness to prepare him for work. What dost thou here? And the showdown came, and showdown has come again, and Elijah up on Mount Carmel. When they thought that all the days of the miracles were past, there could not be nothing else like miracles. There was one man who believed it, and he He said, bring up all your prophets, bring them up here on the mountain, and let's prove, see who's God. Say, I love the scripture. A true sign. Now, up on Mount Carmel the day when he called the showdown, and he called Ahab and the thousands of priests that belonged to the temple of their denominations, he called them up on Mount Carmel, said, come up here, meet me up here. I'll stand the whole bunch. What did he do? He said, thus said the Lord. He wasn't afraid. He said, offer up a bullock. I'm calling on Balaam. Let the God that answers by fire be God. So all day, until from morning till after dinner, they jumped up on the altar. They lanced themselves. They screamed. They hollered. Elijah walked back and forth and said, holler a little louder. Maybe he's going on a fishing trip or something. He's out pursuing or something, for he had thus said the Lord. He was satisfied he had the word of God, and brother and sister, what more does any man need than a promise of God? God said he would do it as Abraham. He counted God able to perform what he spoke about. He knew that God could do it because God said so. Confirmation and commission. On Mount Carmel, he had the showdown between the false gods and the true God. He laid the sacrifice, walked out there and said, Lord God, be God. I want you guys to participate, so I'm going to make you guys do the work. Let's go to Judges 11. Let's start at the verse 30. No phone, no tablet.
We used to have been up there.
Mm-hmm. You got to follow the Bible. I'll read the first one. I'll read the next one. We'll go all the way to 40.
What number?
30.
11, 30 to 40. And Jephthah, is that how you pronounce it? Jephthah.
You did good.
Vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands,
then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth from the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for her.
So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them unto his hands.
And he smote them from a river, even to the comfort of the minute, even 20 cities, and the 20 little vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon was subdued before the children of Israel.
And Jephthah came to Mizpeh into his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter.
And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he knew his daughter. Thou hast brought me very low, and thou art willing to trust on me. For I have opened my mouth
She said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord to do to me according to that which had proceeded out of thy mouth, for as much as the Lord had taken vengeance for thee of thy enemies, even of the children of Ammon.
And she said unto her father, let this sin be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, and I will go up in thy mouth.
And he said, go, and he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companion and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains.
And it came to pass at the end of 2 months, she returned unto her father, for he did it with her according to her style, which he had done. And she knew no man, and it was a custom in Israel.
Altogether.
The daughter of Israel, when you hear the children of your daughter, Jephthah, you will hear the
explain that a little better as far as that she had to go for 2 months? No?
No. Don't know.
Me neither.
She must have been pretty obedient. She returned. She could have just left the country.
She says she was a virgin.
Yeah.
Maybe she said, let me go up to the one and talk to God.
Yes.
What is the attraction on the mountain? The brother sang a while ago, or he was supposed to sing, on the hills far away, stood an old rugged cross. What's the attraction on Mount Calvary? When we see the religious world had condemned him and the Roman government had sentenced him to death, and here he was hanging between two malefactors starving for a drink, blood running out of his body, then he hangs crying, my God, why has thou forsaken me? And the religious people standing there looking at it, little did they know that the prophecy of the Old Testament was being met right there at Calvary at that time. David himself wrote that he fell into the spirit like all prophets. He acted like it was him. David cried in the 22nd Psalm, my God, why has thou forsaken me? All my bones, they stared at me. They pierced my hands, my feet. David speaking like it was him. And it wasn't David. It was Christ in David. And here the very prophecy that went forth of all the different prophets being fulfilled on Mount Calvary. What's the attraction on Mount Calvary? God was fulfilling his word. What is the attraction on the mountain? Do you love him? I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation. That was the attraction on Mount Calvary. The same attraction on Sunset Mountain, Mount Nebo, Mount Sinai, all the different mountain experiences. When the Son of David came some 800 years later, he sat on the same hill rejected of his own and wept over Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have covered you as the hen covered her chicks, and you would not all the Old Testament, just the foreshadow of a new testament of things to come. Gives. Look at David when he was dethroned and rejected in his city, and he climbed up on Mount Olive and rejected by his own son, and his people had turned him down as he went up the hill. He went up weeping, looking back over Jerusalem, weeping. What is it? It was the Spirit of Christ in him. What is the attraction on the mountain? David himself wrote and fell into a spirit like all the prophets. He acted like it was him. He cried, my God, why is that forsaken me? All my bones, they stared at me. They pierced my hands and my feet. David speaking like it was him, and it wasn't David. It was Christ and David. And here the very prophecy that went forth of all the different prophets was being fulfilled on Mount Calvary. What's the attraction on Mount Calvary? God is fulfilling his word. The future home of the heavenly bridegroom and earthly bride. John said, I saw the heaven and earth depart as a scroll. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. Or in other words, heaven and earth shall be changed. The same word right there again. No, not highlighted. For later in Revelation, you saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven and sitting upon this earth. It doesn't mean that it will be annihilated. Now later, the system will be changed. Also, we find out here in Revelation 21:24, it says that the kings of the earth will bring their honor and glory into their new Jerusalem. Sitting on this earth, it shall be changed.
Right.
I'm kind of going a little bit everywhere, you know, but I'm talking about bonds anyway. Yeah, and says, he said, "No, to the Mount Sinai, which is where God descended on the top of it. When he spoke to Israel in Pilafar, he descended on top of the mountain, Mount Sinai, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he declared, 'This is my beloved Son, hear ye him.' He descended in a pillar of light and shining brightness upon the top of the mountain before Peter, James, and John, and there he was represented with both Moses and Elijah, that's translated in the dead raised glory. The new city on the new earth, the new creation, a city on the hill with a throne on top of it, the throne up here on top of it, and it dwells all up and down the and down on this mountain. The wall that's around this had 12 foundations, and each one of them had a stone that was in Aaron. What represented 12 tribes of Israel in the gate? They had four gates, just a secular, like the temple in the wilderness, like the tent was in the wilderness. Notice each one had there was apostles, three on each side, 12 apostles, and it was 140 cubit high, 140 cubits exactly, 216 feet, making each one of those big stones almost 20 foot tall. The breastplate and the gate, they made up the wall that was around the city. An exposition of the Seventh Church of Jesus, Brother Brown said, "This is the last warning. There will not be another. The throne room has been set up. The 12 foundations had to be laid. The streets of gold have been paved. The gates of gigantic pearls are raised and hinged like a pyramid. And she stands so far and glorious. The heavenly beings who have prepared her watch breathless, for she glistens and shines with a glory that is unearthly. Every facet of her beauty tells a story, amazing grace. In Jesus' love, she is a city prepared for prepared people. She waits only for our inhabitants, and soon they will throng her streets with joy. Yes, it's the last call. The Spirit will not speak in another age. The ages are over." That's our last call. California is going crazy. I was talking about chicken with, sorry. And last week I heard on the radio that the waitresses are all going to get fined if they give somebody a straw to get your drink, plastic straw, because you're going to hurt the environment unless they ask for it. And the latest thing is the governor wants to ban the sale of the Bibles.
So you said that's not true.
I'll close already. Let's do Sister June's
Can you give me an apple?
I asked this last week, but we didn't get an answer, so we're going to vote. She's the only one that's going to get it right. Who bought all the land of Egypt? Anybody know who bought all the land of Egypt?
Who what?
Who bought all the land of Egypt?
Just.
You asked that.
See, I told you she knew.
You asked that last time.
I told you she knew. Let's go to Genesis 47:19-26. Brother Wade knows too, because I asked him.
What?
Genesis 47:19-26. Genesis 47:19. "Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate." And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of the Egypt, even to the other end thereof. Hmm. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them, for wherefore they sold not their land. Then Joseph said unto the people, Behold, I have bought you this day in your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is a seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that you shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and fourth part shall be your own, for the seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your household, and for food for your little ones. And they said, Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of Thou, of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh shall have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh. Now Joseph did buy the land, but he bought it for Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. So. She probably doesn't know this one. One man became so angry he cut a yoke of oxen into pieces. Nobody? Let's go to 1 Samuel. Then we'll go to 11. The 4 to 7. First Samuel 11, 4 through 7. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd of the field, and Saul said, What aileth the people that they wept? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul where he had heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them through all the coast of Israel by the hands of the messenger, saying, Whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. Who became so angry with his father, he left the dinner table without eating. Nobody? Let's go to 1 Samuel 20, 33 to 34. And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that he was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. Sister June, I thought you knew mom.
I was going to say Absalom. You were one of David's sons. The name right?
Who said his time was the pen of a ready writer?
Say that again.
Whose tongue was the pen of a ready writer?
His tongue?
Tongue.
Who?
He's looking it up. Oh. I was going to take all your Bibles and all your tablets before I start. Let's go to Psalms 45:1. Maybe David. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is a pen of a ready writer, David. What baby was given a name by his dying mother but had it changed by his father?
John.
Hmm?
John.
Who?
John the Baptist. Oh, no.
Let's go to Genesis 35.
Benjamin.
Who?
Benjamin. He was first named Benoni, and then his dad changed it to Benjamin.
Okay, let's see if you're right. Genesis 35:16. And they, you got it? Genesis 35:16 all the way to 20. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephraim, and Rachel prevailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departed, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called his name Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephraim, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that this is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. What 5-year-old was dropped by his nurse and lame for life?
His name was... Jonathan's son.
Mephibosheth.
Yeah.
You know what?
Mephibosheth.
Let's go to Second Samuel 4:4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul, and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and flee. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was
Mephibosheth. No, you say Mephibosheth.
No, I'll let you say it.
No, go ahead.
Those are hard. Some of the names are hard. I can't understand.
Mephibosheth.
Who bought a hill and built a city on it? Who bought a hill? Let's go to our First Kings 16:23-26. First Kings 16:23-26. In the 30th and first year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. And he bought a hill, and he bought the hill of Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver, and built a hill on it, and he called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill. What else? Samaria. But Omri brought evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the way of of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin, wherever he made Israel to sin, provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Who built cities and mountains and castles and towers in the forest? Second Chronicles 27, 1 to 4.
What is it?
Second Chronicles 27, 1 to 4. Who built cities and mountain castles and towers in the forest? 2 Chronicles 27, Chronicles 27, 1 through 4. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also was Jerusha, the daughter of Sadab. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. However, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. And he built the gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judea, and in the forest he built castles and towers. You have any more, Sister John?
You got a baby who dedication.
Built, who built the ark?
No, no. Where was the ark landed? That's the hard one for me.
No.
I have a practice all
day. Right.
Yes.
Am I done?
We got a baby dedication.
Thank you for helping.
Oh, listen, next Sunday, read the first chapter of Romans. We're going to go to the book of Romans, verse by verse. Okay. Hmm?